are talking about Jesus' journey. We started last week and talking about that and what some miracles that Jesus has done. And so this week we're going to talk about another one, okay? We're going to talk about in Mark chapter 11. But before we get there, what I would like to do is play you, in just a second, I'm going to play you a video. And for his entire life was never able to see color. He was, in fact, what they call, I think, a strong Dugan, which is, or Duden or something like that, which is, in other words, they have no color perception whatsoever. And they gave him a pair of N-chroma glasses. Some of you have seen the reaction videos of that. And for the first time ever, the kid was able to see color. Imagine that reaction just when being able to see color. Okay, so he could see, color just wasn't there. And then it's actually, I told you wrong, it's Mark chapter 10. And verse 45 is where we're going to be at. And I want you to see a story where something much greater happens. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So we're not talking about a colorblind guy. We're talking about a blind man, someone who could not see a thing. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many, can you imagine this, warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus, it's amazing, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man and saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Let me give you a little bit of background of the garment. When he rose up and threw his garment, it was the idea that nothing can hold me back from getting to Christ. Okay? So in that day and age, a blind beggar had to keep everything he could. So to throw it away meant there's nothing that's going to stop me from getting to Jesus. Verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now this is a rhetorical question. This is God of the universe. Okay? So he's asking him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I'm not trying to be stupid, but blind people generally look blind, okay? They don't, like, it, you can tell their eyes aren't focused and those things. So when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus isn't asking this in a way of, like, "I see nothing wrong. What's going on?" Jesus is asking it because he wants to hear what this blind man needs. So the blind man says to him, "Rabboni," in other words, it was the idea of great teacher or holy teacher, "that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus says to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on to the road. So before this takes place, in verses 35 through 45, we have this discussion that Jesus has with his disciples. And the disciples come to him and say, "Hey, buddy, in heaven, who's going to be on your right hand and who's going to be on your left?" Because right hand was the hand of dominance back then, as far as if you sat on the right hand of somebody, that was a place of prominence. So they're looking at him going, "Who's going to sit on your right hand? Is it me or is it him?" And Jesus goes, "Listen, that's not the way you should think about it, because in the kingdom of heaven, those who are first actually seek to be last. Those who want prominence don't actually want prominence. They want to serve others so that they get the prominence." So it's a counterintuitive thinking. You don't work harder for it. You work harder for others to get it. And so he talks with them about that. And so as he meets blind Bartimaeus on the road, you have to understand he's just had this conversation with these guys. And now he's looking at what the lowest of the low would be, and Jesus is about to serve him. Because Jesus was giving an example that you're not supposed to work in such a way that you're trying to get this prominence and, "I want to do everything in front of people so everybody sees me." No, no. He was wanting to do the things that nobody else would. No one else cared about Bartimaeus. He's sitting on the side of the road begging. He's literally just sitting there begging. Nobody's going, "Oh, poor Bartimaeus. Let me help. Let me give him a meal today." No, he's just sitting there. And Jesus is going to change his life forever. I mean, he really is going to change his life forever. Now, remember, we're on this Jesus' journey because he's on his way to the cross. And so these are the miracles that take place just a couple weeks before he's going to meet the cross. And we'll talk about that in the next couple weeks as we get closer to Easter. But Jesus stops with this man and does this miracle. Well, last week we asked the question, why? Why? Why would blind Bartimaeus be worthy of Jesus stopping and saying, "I'm going to heal you"? I think, and remember, this is all speculation, though these points come from the text, but this is all speculation as to why I think it's included in Scripture, is because I think Jesus did it to prove three things to us. Number one, Jesus hears. Jesus hears. As they're coming into Jericho, they're walking in, and the Bible says that he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. There is crowd noise beyond compare. If you're ever sitting in a stadium or if you've been sitting in a room where it's got lots of people and you're supposed to be quiet, but everybody thinks they're whispering, and then everybody can hear it because as everybody whispers, it makes this loud sound, right? So whispers no longer become whispers because for you to whisper to this person, you've got to talk louder than the whisper of this person, and all of a sudden it gets loud. They're outside. There's this great multitude following Jesus, and blind Bartimaeus starts crying out, Jesus, or son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd has the gall to say, no, stop. No, do not call out to Jesus anymore. Do not do it. Well, the resolve of Bartimaeus was to say, no. I am going to call out to Jesus. So, son of David, have mercy on me. And one of the greatest phrases, I think, in the story is the next one. And Jesus stood still. You know what that means? That means that in the midst of all of that commotion, in the midst of all that was going on, when blind Bartimaeus called out to Jesus, Jesus heard him. It didn't matter how much noise was around the room. It did not matter who was trying to stop Bartimaeus from seeing Jesus. Jesus was going to stand still because Bartimaeus was worth it. And so I'm looking at you tonight saying this, no matter what commotion is on in your life, no matter what the crowd noise is doing, no matter what your friends are saying or your family's saying or whatever, it doesn't matter because the commotion will not stop Jesus from hearing you. When you stop and say, Jesus, he stands still and he waits for you to talk to him. That's what Jesus does for you. Why? Because in a couple weeks, he's about to go to the cross and die for you as well. And so in this story, he proves to us that Jesus will hear. But then secondly, Jesus calls. It says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now let me tell you what one of the paradoxes are, one of the things is in our society today, in Christianity. A lot of times we want Jesus to hear us, but we don't want to answer the call. Right? Like, we want Jesus to fix our family, but when he calls us to do something to help fix it, we're like, yeah, I mean, you're hearing me though, right? Like, can you fix it? And Jesus is going, hey, I'm standing still. Come here. Let me talk to you about it. Yikes. Or let me give you another example. Jesus, everybody at school is stabbing each other in the back. And then you're on Instagram later, texting your buddy. Do you see what she's wearing? It's so ugly. Oh my gosh. It's just terrible. I mean, I would never say it to her face, but it's horrible. But Jesus, please help the school to get all this backbiting and backstabbing taken care of. And Jesus stands still and says, come here. Let me tell you how we can fix it. But a lot of us don't want to hear the call. We don't want to answer that. We just want to know he hears us. We want to put all of our cares on him and not have any responsibility whatsoever. But Jesus calls out to him. And so they look at him, the crowd, and say, be of good cheer, rise. Let's go meet him. So he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? What is it that you want me to solve for you? Okay? Remember, Jesus is God of the universe. He does not have any question about what he actually needs. But in asking this, what he is doing is giving Bartimaeus a chance to say what he wants and why, okay? And the why is going to be summed up in just a second, okay? But he gives him this opportunity to say it. When you call out to Jesus, Jesus will hear you, but Jesus does not, this is going to be a double negative, sorry, English teachers, Jesus will never not ask you to do something. Does that make sense? Jesus, would you fix my family? Jesus says, fix your attitude. Jesus, would you fix my school? Jesus says, why don't you tell them about me? Jesus, would you fix this person? Jesus says, well, will you serve them? There's always a yes, but. Yes, but. Do this, do this, do this. Now, can God just fix it? Absolutely. But you know what God does? God chooses to use worthless individuals like us. Like, I never in my life thought I would be standing in Avon, Indiana, in front of a youth group saying, hey, we need to follow Jesus together. Never. Never thought it. Just because if you could read my list of sins, you'd be like, he is the chief of sinners. Because it just is. So to stand in front of you and say, we need to do what Jesus calls us to do, is not looking at you and say, do what I've done. Because I'm telling you, don't. Follow Jesus, because Jesus is better. It's one of our house values. It's the greatest house value we have. Jesus is better than anything you stack up against him. He will hear you. He will call. And then the best thing is this. Jesus will accomplish. Jesus accomplishes. He looks at blind Bartimaeus. He says, what is it you want me to do for you? The blind man says to him, Rabboni. And in saying Rabboni, he is saying to him, and as he says earlier, son of David, he is saying, you are the Messiah. You are the chosen one. You are the one by which we are healed. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Duh, right? Like, that I may receive my sight. Now, here's what Jesus says. So Jesus says to him, go your way, okay? Go your way. Because you have asked me, you're made well. Is that what it says? I'll give you an answer. No, that's not what it says. Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Jesus will accomplish that what we ask him to do. But here's the problem. Sometimes we don't have faith that God will accomplish it. Now, I am not, okay, before you're like, oh, if I just claim the name of Jesus, he's going to give me money and power and fame. Okay, I'm not a health and wealth guy. But here's what I am saying. So many times we look and say, Jesus, would you fix my family, without the faith that he actually will? Or we say, Jesus, will you fix this? And Jesus says, yeah, but I need you to do this. And we don't have the faith in him to give us the power to do it. For instance, if we want to change our schools, why is there not revival in schools today? Because we lack faith. Because nobody's willing to go into a school and say, you know what, with Jesus by my side, I can change this place. This place can be turned around with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but nobody has the faith to do it. Everybody's scared. And I completely understand, because I was too. So I'm not looking at you saying you should do something that I did. What I'm saying is this, we lack faith. And in lacking faith, Jesus will not accomplish what we want, because we lack the faith to actually believe he will. Because as blind Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, Jesus says, what do you want me to do? He says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And he says, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Imagine being a part of the crowd, right? Like, you had just tried to stop him from coming to Jesus. And Jesus finally says, bring him here. And so they bring blind Bartimaeus to Jesus, and the crowd, just imagine, like, I wish I could have taken a video and put it back on the screen of you guys watching the video. Because that's how you're watching it, because you're trying to figure out what's going on, what's the next step, what's the reaction, and all those different things. So they're all watching at it. Just like we talked about last week with Lazarus come forth, all the multitude all the time are like, what's he doing? Is it going to work? You know, like, that's what they all do. So with blind Bartimaeus, they're all looking like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And immediately he receives his sight. Now, it doesn't give us this description, but could you imagine being blind and then seeing? It's not like Bartimaeus was like, thanks, Jesus, and like walks away. Okay? Imagine being blind and then seeing for the first time. The colors, the people. Now, I'm a sinner. I know you guys aren't, but I'm a sinner. So I'd probably be walking by all the people that didn't give me money when I was begging, be like, coming for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me. But if I got my sight, I would not just be like standing there like, oh, this is great, thank you. I would be running around, like leaping for joy. So Bartimaeus is now changed forever. And here's what I want to tell you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were blind, but now you can see. You were on your way to a devil's hell, but now you're on your way to a Christ-filled eternity. And so you cannot look and say that, oh man, I don't know how they would act, when you know how you would act if your physical blindness was removed, is the same way we should act about our spiritual blindness. Why? Because Jesus hears. Not only does Jesus hear, but the God of all creation stands still for you. Like, I don't know if that means as much to you as it does to me. I remember being a kid, and I felt like my parents never stood still to listen to me. Like, I was always like, Dad, Dad. And it's probably because I was going, Dad, Dad. But I was always nagging him, and he's always doing something, right? Like, he's fixing something. Mom's doing dinner, doing the dishes, or she's running around doing something. And you're always, like, you know, walking behind them, trying to, like, talk to them as you're doing it. The fact that if I looked and said, Dad, and he turned around and stood still and looked at me and said, yes, son, that's awesome. And the fact that Jesus will do it for you. So he does hear you, but he's going to call you. He's going to call you to do something. Don't pray without the obvious reasoning of, I've got to do something now that I've prayed. Okay? Whatever you pray, Jesus will accomplish. Get it out of your mind that you don't mean something to Christ. Get it out of your mind. It doesn't matter what anybody else on earth has says to you. Ah, you're worthless. Ah, no one loves you, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. What Jesus says is, you are blind, but now you see because I love you. And in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about how he displayed that on the cross. And by the way, the time that we do talk about it, if you are squeamish, don't come. Because we are going to talk about what happened to Jesus in detail on the cross. Not so that we can be like, oh, blood, gore, cool. But so that you can look and say all of that so that he could stand still whenever I talk. So that he would count me worthy to say, hey, yeah, you want your family to change? Let me give you something that you can do in the meantime. And then he'll change our families if we just ask. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus' journey is incredible. Not just because of crucifixion and resurrection, though those are awesome. But what Jesus does beforehand proves to us that he will hear, that he will call, and he will accomplish that which you ask him. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful tonight for who you are, what you've done in my life. Lord, I stand in front of these teens, students, with nothing but admiration for you. In the midst of all my sin, in the midst of all my stupidity, in the midst of all, even today, in choices I made that would be contrary to what you would want me to do, in the midst of all of that, right now, you're standing still because I called to you. It's amazing. I don't know why you do it. I really don't. But Father, would you give us students who will understand that you hear them? That prayer does not just hit the roof and come back down, but it reaches heaven because you'll stand still to hear it. But then, Lord, would they answer the call that you've given to them? Lord, the call right now doesn't have to be what they're going to do in the future. It can be to get up, read their Bible, go to school, tell somebody about Christ, whatever it may be. But Lord, would you help them to answer the call, and would you give them a big enough faith to trust you to accomplish that which they ask you to do? You're amazing. And you do things beyond my comprehension every single day, i.e. keeping me in the ministry. But Lord, you are so good. And I pray that these students would get a hold of this fact tonight by the example of blind Bartimaeus, and they will give you honor and glory for it, because you are better. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.